Good morning. Thank you, Doug, for the introduction. It's November 6th. Well, we're entering more and more into winter time, and we hope that you're ready. We have an unusual interview this morning here in our studio. August Tornquist is an archaeologist. He's a Bible scholar. He's been to the Holy Land and to Egypt for many times, and he has a lot to share, especially concerning the Great Pyramid. August is the cousin of Evie Tornquist from our area here. Many of you remember her, her singing ministry. I understand now she's happily married down in Florida, two children. But it's good to have August here. His wife Louise is sitting in the studio with us. August, I want to read the passage of Scripture that you have given us and then have prayer. You've given us Isaiah chapter 19 and 20, where it says, "In that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior, and a great one, and he shall deliver them." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this prophecy. We pray that we might learn more about the meaning behind this scripture through this man, August, and his knowledge, his understanding. I pray that you would open up our minds to understand and our hearts to receive as we hear about the pyramid in Egypt and other archaeological discoveries. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I must admit to you, August, I'm a real layman on this subject. So if I act a little ignorant, well, there's about 10,000 other people that are with me listening right now. So let's begin by, first of all, asking you, what aroused your interest in the Great Pyramid in Egypt?
Well, Stephen, going back to about 1966, I had a personal invitation to see David Ben-Gurion.
Mm-hmm.
He had been told of a model of the third temple that we were building, and he wrote that he would like to see how we were doing.
Yeah.
We had planned our visit first to go to Egypt to explore the passage systems of the Great Pyramid and see if it was all the writers said it was, and then to Israel to see Ben-Gurion.
Boy, that's quite an invitation. By Ben-Gurion. What year was that?
1966.
1966. He was one of the leaders of the present day Nation of Israel. One of the founders.
Prime Minister in years gone by, yes.
Yes. August, was it all that you thought it to be, the Great Pyramid in Egypt?
Stephen, we found it to be fascinating. You know, we had obtained special permission from the Undersecretary of State, after much corresponding, to explore and photograph chambers never seen by tourists. He had made a special 28-foot scaling ladder to get up into the rarely explored five chambers above the King's Chamber. Ali Hassan, the then director of the Giza Antiquities, and Zahi Hawass, the present director, would not even venture up our ladder. It was quite a feat to get up there.
What other inaccessible chambers did you explore while you were there?
Well, we climbed chimney walked up a 225-foot, almost vertical, 26-inch well shaft called the Well of Life, without ropes.
you were invited to enter into chambers and parts of the pyramid that the average person is not allowed to go into. Are you still allowed to do this today, August? Could you go back there and explore
further?
Well,
yes, because with all the contacts that we've made, Zahi Hawass now is in charge of the Giza Plateau. He was only an assistant to Ali Hassan at those times. Ali Hassan today is in charge of all antiquities in Egypt. So we have a foot in the door. Know Ahmed Kadri very well, the Undersecretary of State. So we were there and last year in July and did the entire pyramid in 5 days in video. And we're in the process of putting that on tape right now.
Mm. Now, you mentioned the well shaft. Did you find anything interesting up that well shaft?
Yes, very, very interesting. This well shaft, called the Well of Life by the ancient scripts that had been found, we'll tell about that later, but this, we found an interesting grotto in about 125 feet. It's almost like a cave. Remind you of the caves or grottos like in Bethlehem. And in this cave, there's a stone coming out of a conglomerate of stones that looks like a lamb's head. And you're in there, you sort of get spiritual goosebumps thinking, could this depict the birthplace of Jesus? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world.
August, you have often said that the Great Pyramid is, I'm going to quote you, an astronomical, geographical, mathematical, engineering, and biblical masterpiece. Why don't you explain all of that to us?
Steve, going back to 1960, after thinking about it for 20 years, I finally took the big step, of course, to follow Jesus,
Yeah.
And ever since he's changed my life. I began to study God's Word then in earnest, to dig and to prove all things. I wondered what God meant when he said in Jeremiah that the great, the mighty God has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even to this day.
Mm.
Also in Isaiah that you just read. And my studies since then have proved to me that the Great Pyramid is God's stone witness.
And how did this prove to be the witness that Isaiah is talking about, as far as you're concerned?
Stephen, the passage system displays the entire plan of God as stated in the Bible. The descending passageway would show the broad road to the grave. The first ascending passageway shows the law covenant, but it's plugged because no man could keep the law. The grand gallery, the gospel call or age, and the only access to it is through this well of life. In other words, like showing that Jesus bypassed the law and he opened up a new way. And the king's chamber, which this grand gallery leads to, is a picture of heaven, of divine nature. And the lower chamber down below, not a red granite room as a king's chamber, but a limestone room, would depict the restored earth.
Now, August, why would the Lord... And you're going to get later on into who built the pyramid. But why would the Lord have the pyramid built depicting or being symbolic of all of these things concerning the redemption of man, actually the story of the redemption of man and how it... what's the connection?
I think, Stephen, looking at the world around us, as the Lord speaks about the end of the age that we're in, we see a great falling away and skepticism, running rampant. That he's given us something, put something in our hand in this era to almost blow the mind of a skeptic. It's because, I say, now, astronomically, geographically, and all these wonders that it shows, and primarily as showing God's plan of salvation, as the Bible shows, is, of course, what really impressed us.
Now, with all of these discoveries, do you find that it's leading many skeptics to Christ, archaeologists and scientists and mathematicians?
It has in many, many instances. We've gone to areas that I've given programs to, in the past, and different conventions and whatnot, and someone pointed, you see Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so, remember that program you gave? In other words, that's what opened their heart and brought them to the Lord. One time down in Jamaica, a Pastor Robinson down there, he cried after a program we had given the following morning at a church service. He said, August, he says, my daughter said, now I can believe. So we've had some wonderful experiences.
The Lord, I guess, knew that some people need that kind of evidence. They're very analytical and minded and technically minded. They need that kind of an evidence. And thank God that he has given it to us, not only through the Great Pyramid, but other discoveries as well in science and medicine and mathematics. Let me give the number where you can talk more with August Tornquist. His wife Louise might be there to answer the phone if he's not, but they live in Staten Island. And the number is 718-984-4038. That's area code 718-984-4038. I'll give that number a little bit later on before we leave the air. But we have some more time here. Now, you mentioned, August, some passages in Isaiah and in Jeremiah. Did you notice anything unusual about these passages?
Many things, Stephen. This grand gallery, it's, don't forget, it's 28 foot high, and it's 153 foot long. No one ever heard of 153.
Yes.
You know, going back to Jesus, cast your net on the other side of the boat, you know, and I'll make you fishers of men. So you've got a grand gallery, 153 foot long, seven times higher than in the first ascending passageway, and there are little ramps on each side. Now, to go up that grand gallery would be very, very difficult, except that there are handholds on the side. There are 48 handholds, and each handhole has a stone cross inserted in the limestone blocks alongside of it, showing that no man can come to the Father but through Jesus. And also, from the King's Chamber floor level to the truncated platform on the top of the Great Pyramid is 153 courses of masonry. And if you take the angle of this passageway leading to God through the Grand Gallery and lay that down on a map, it goes right smack through Bethlehem.
Yes, I read on the paper that you... that you gave me, there's some other things. The pyramid is the mean distance from the earth to the sun.
Yes.
Or it shows this. The weight of the earth, the polar diameter of the earth's mean orbit and maximum variation, the earth's mean temperature, the direction of true north. Now, I imagine it'd take a long time for you to explain all that.
Right.
But maybe you could if somebody called you, huh?
Oh, yes. I'd be happy to... explained it, and even send them some literature. They've discovered in the past 8 years that using the 20.6 cube and using the edges of this 20.6 cube, you can get a harmony between the Great Pyramid and Solomon's Temple and the Tabernacle that would give you spiritual goosebumps. It just shows that this was done by the Master.
You mentioned the Grand Gallery, you call it?
Grand Gallery.
That must be a huge room.
Yes. It's 153 foot long, 28 foot high, and it has seven overlapping stones on the side. It's a picture of the gospel age or the gospel call. And you think of the seven stages of the church as shown in Revelation?
Mm-hmm.
And these handholds, I call them exceeding great and precious promises. As we're being drawn to the Father through Jesus, we put our hands in these handholds, and He, with His promises, He gives us the strength to take another step and take another step.
Yes. Now, and then you mentioned the King's Chamber. What does that look like, August?
Well, the King's Chamber is a red granite room, a large room, and it has exactly 100 stones. We think of the tabernacle, like 100 cubits. And the Great Pyramid was called the Pyramid of the Empty Tomb, or Open Tomb. There's a sarcophagus, a red granite sarcophagus. Of course, the King's Chamber is all red granite.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds you of the Holy of the Tabernacle. And the empty coffer has the same cubic capacity as the exterior of the Tabernacle's Ark of Testimony. In other words, it's a picture of... a chamber showing eternal life, or the ultimate goal of the Bride of Christ. Jesus, the first fruits of them that slept. When Alma Moon, as a thief and a robber, you know, broke into the pyramid in about 820, he thought he was going to find Tutankhamun type gold. He found nothing but an empty, open tomb.
Now, someone listening right now might say, well, August, you're really reading a lot into a lot of these things. But I imagine you would say to them, let me take you with me, huh?
Yeah.
then they might be convinced as they behold these things firsthand.
Right.
Now, tell us something about the astronomical and geographical wonders of the Great Pyramid.
Well, you know, it's the most perfectly oriented building in the world. And the Isaiah 19 that Stephen read, like it says that this monument would be in the middle of the land, and yet at the border thereof. That's a riddle. How can something be in the middle of the land, yet at the border? Now, this is possible only in Egypt. The Nile River comes down from Upper Egypt. That's Upper Egypt. And then it goes to Gaza through the Lower Egypt which would be out through the Delta, Alexandria, and Port Said.
Mm-hmm.
The word Gaza means border. The Great Pyramid at Gaza is in the middle of the land, yet it's at the border thereof. But now the ancient scrolls that they found intact, that they believe were writings left by Noah's son Shem, who they believe built it. Manetho says, you know, the shepherd kings came into the land of Egypt with a strange power, closed their temples, took away their idol worship, built the Great Pyramid, took them 100,000 men, 30 years, and then went back and built Jerusalem. But the ancient scrolls say that there was this monument would be in the middle of the earth. I got a map down in Washington called the Azimuthal Equidistance Projection Map. They called it, I got it from the Navy Department, and shows that it says the dot adjacent to Cairo is the center of the projection, which is the center of the land surface of the earth. If you were to take the earth and cut it in four quarters like you were quartering a piece of fruit, you have exactly the same amount of land surface in each of the four quarters.
Mm-hmm.
But as I stated, you know, the angulation of the passage system pointing towards Bethlehem, the length of the base of the pyramid shows the length of our year. The length of the diagonals show the precession of the equinoxes, or the grand calendar. A galaxy takes the bigger full rotation around the Pleiades. And it's only 5 seconds of a degree off absolute true north. There's no other building like it in the world. Architects, Ferguson in his book says there's nothing like it on the face of the earth. But taking this cubit I spoke to you about, this 20.6 cubit, and using it as a multiplier inside the king's chamber, you get the date of the flood, the length of Noah's Ark, the width of Noah's Ark, and anything you want to know. You can get the speed of the earth at Capricorn, at the Cancer, at the equator, the angle of the earth's axis. God has given us something in this age to get our foot in the door of men's minds that are closed.
Mm-hmm. Well, praise the Lord. Now, who built it, August, as far as you're concerned, and understand who built it?
Well, they believe that it was Noah's son, Shem. I have a book called The Man Who Built the Great Pyramid, and it is a wonderful book, and they believe it was Noah's son, Shem. We know that Japheth settled in Europe. Shem, the most righteous in Israel, Syria area. Ham was cursed,
right,
and he was driven into Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his sons' names was Mizraim, and also Canaan. And from Canaan came Canaanitish idol worship, human sacrifice, and whatnot. So coming into the land of Egypt, and there he was exiled in Egypt, following the wiles of the adversary. And as Manetho says, that Shem, the shepherd kings, came into this land, as we feel, under the inspiration of God, to build this monument, closed their temples, took away their idol worship, built the Great Pyramid, and left and went back and built Jerusalem.
Mm.
But the Jewish people believe it was Melchizedek, the king of Salem, building Jerusalem, who Abraham gave tithes to. And, you know...
Well, that's pretty good speculation anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Shem, it could only be Shem out of the three sons, for sure, especially
right,
to build something that would depict the redemption of mankind through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Let me give you your phone number, and we're running out of time here. I've been interviewing this morning August Turnquist, and his number in Staten Island is area code 718-984-4038. That's 984-4038. And I'm sure he would be glad to talk with you about the subject of the pyramid, be glad to refer you to books and articles that might give you more information. August, have you written a book yet?
No, several articles, yes. Video right now is on high priority.
That's right. Well, let's bow together and pray. Father, we thank you that you have left a witness in the earth. You have given us many signs and wonders concerning Jesus Christ, the one that came to take away our sins. We're thankful that you can not only appeal to the one with a childlike faith, but you can appeal to the intellect. You can appeal to the one that is scientifically and mathematically minded. And thank you, Father, that there are many ways and reasons by which we may put our faith in Jesus Christ. I pray that you bless this ministry that you have given to August, and that you would give doors of opportunity to him, that he might enter through those doors and educate people and interest people, and most of all, win people to Christ through this witness, through this testimony. Father, thank you for his knowledge. Add to it. Give him understanding and wisdom. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and have a good day.